Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Hello. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you today. Oh, it's a beautiful day, indeed, in the neighborhood. Is it your birthday today? Happy birthday if it is your birthday. I want to give a shout out to a very good friend and I would say mentor. His name is Gordon Howie and it's his birthday today. And I'm so thankful for his influence, his prayers and his support in my life. And I truly believe that he's going to have a fabulous day. Gordon, happy birthday to you. And I want to encourage you, if you have someone that's got a birthday coming up and you want to give them a shout out on the radio, I can give them a shout out on the radio. Let me know. Send me an email. Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at KSLM Radio and share with your friends and family that we're streaming live, KSLM.news. We're 1220 AM on the dial and 104.3 FM. And we are, did you know this? The oldest radio station in Salem. Yes, indeed, we are. And it's so good to be here and be a part of this wonderful opportunity to meet with you every single weekday morning and over maybe some coffee or maybe you sip on tea, whatever you're doing to get ready on this day. Thank you for tuning in because we're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower and kind of look at life as it's impacting us. And we certainly know when we kicked off this radio program March 1st, we had no idea where we were headed with COVID-19 and trying to stay encouraged, trying to stay connected, trying to get resources and information to each of us so that we can be empowered and face fear with facts, right? Well, in that effort to continue to educate and engage you, you know, we're looking at the headlines, but we're just not reading at you. We're not talking at you. We really want a conversation. We really want to talk with you. And we want to know what's going on with your life. How are you being impacted? You know, I'm reminded of a conversation we had a couple weeks ago with Danielle Bethel. She's with the Kaiser Chamber, and of course, she's running for commission. And she said how many people, business owners she's worked with personally, who they're losing so much. They've lost so much in their dreams and their goals and things that they're just wondering how they're going to make it through another day. And I thought of that last night as I heard the news, Kate Brown coming down with more mandates, more restrictions in her effort to try to curtail COVID-19, which it just doesn't line up, friends. In the common sense graph, and I've talked about this before, where are the graphs for common sense? In my filter for common sense, it doesn't add up. The science doesn't back her methods. Even though she throws those words out, it doesn't line up. A 5-year-old and above wearing a mask? Really? A person exercising and inside exercising, running, training, wearing a mask? How is that even healthy or productive? I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just missing it. I don't know, but it feels like, here's what it feels like. And I talked with some folks last night. You know, I'm really, really contemplating, and maybe you can give me some feedback. I'd love your feedback, either on our Facebook page or through email, but I'm really contemplating starting a group called Oregonians Abandoned by Kate Brown and start collecting the stories, because we're not hearing the stories. When you listen to mainstream media in the morning or at night, all you hear is about the riots. Actually, they don't call them riots. They call them protests still, even though they're destroying property. All you hear is them antagonizing through the media the situation. You don't hear about real Oregonians suffering, missing their paychecks, not able to move about and even really look for new jobs. It's very concerning to me, and I'm sure it's concerning to you. And I'm not one of these just to curse the darkness. I really feel like we need to turn up the light and bring hope and encouragement. But I don't want to be so Pollyanna and not real about what's going on, because there's some real tough things going on right now. And if you're one of those, if you're listening right now, my friend, and you're like, man, I'm feeling hopeless, helpless, I want you to know that there is hope and help. There is. And we need one another. And if you don't have anybody to talk to or anybody to listen, I want you to know you can give me a call. Yes, you can. I don't want you to feel isolated. You can give me an email. You can send me a message and I'll reach out to you because this is important that we stay connected. And I feel really a heaviness in a sense after last night. It's like, whew, we need some encouragement and some hope. We need to engage and we need a mission and we need to have something to get involved in. And the good news is, guess what? There are things that you can do. You can get involved in campaigns. You can help with a recall effort. There are things you can do. Let's make that, I use the word channel loosely, but channel that energy in something very positive. And keep your eyes and ears open in your neighborhood for people that are in greater need, maybe than even you. And when we can take that focus off of ourselves and onto others, we can do some good together. Don't you agree? All right. Well, in that effort to encourage, engage, educate, I have a wonderful guest in the studio with us today. And I think you'll be delighted, too. I had an opportunity to meet her on Saturday at the Oregon Rise Up Rally. Yes, it's Anna Kasachev, and she is here. I think I said that right. Anna, did I say you're right? Good morning, by the way. Did I say your name right?
Good morning. You did.
Yay. Go ahead.
So first, I want to say thank you for having us on the air. It's a great opportunity. And for those of you that would like to know how to pronounce my name, often I get asked. And it's Kasachev with the last part of it, Chev, like the Chevy car.
Mm-hmm.
But I drive a Ford, just so you know.
I love it. Oh, that's a great way to introduce yourself.
Right.
And tell me, you are running for what district for office? Tell me about that.
So I'm running for House District 22, which mm-hmm. covers Woodburn, Jervis, Brooks, and North Salem up to Market Street. So it kind of runs along the I-5 corridor.
Okay, awesome. And so you are just a delightful person, I have to say. And I know our listeners, it's hard through the radio to get a picture of this. But everything about her countenance is kindness, courageous. I'm just telling you what I see right now. She is a woman who is passionate about Oregon and about community. What interested you in running? Why would, especially at this time? I think I'll say yes to the call and run. Talk to me a little bit about that process of stepping up and saying, I'm going to run for office.
So thank you first for a beautiful compliment. The reason that I decided to run last year, we came to the Capitol with the Old Believer community who I'm with, and we asked to help us stay law-abiding citizens because the vaccine bill was going to take away the religious and philosophical exemptions, and we knew that we wouldn't be able to comply. The response that we got from legislators was, you're not registered voters, therefore you're not constituents, and they closed the door on us.
Mm.
Well, we are U.S. citizens born on this land. My parents came here as immigrants, so I'm from a family of immigrants, and they came here as refugees, actually fleeing persecution. And then to have my government that I was born and raised in sort of slam the door mm-hmm. in our faces was very, very disheartening for us. We went back to our community leaders. We shared some of what we've learned. And we asked, can we vote? Are we allowed to run for a seat if that's what it takes to make some changes? And across the border, all of our leadership had said that, yes, we can vote. And so the question came back. It sort of stunned me because I said, well, then why haven't we voted? Why haven't we been politically involved before? And the response was actually because of humility. We came here as refugees. We were given this opportunity of freedom. Mm. How can we ask for anything more? And so we just humbly kept our head down. We asked the government to stay out of our way. We stayed out of the government's way. And we just lived our lives quietly and peacefully. But you guys are U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. You guys now have a right to go out there and to voice your concerns and, you know, defend your freedoms that we fled persecutions from. So it's a humbling story for the Old Believer community who's been around for 70 years. And I hear from legislators continuously about what is it about the vaccine bill that brought you out?
Mm.
And I think it was the circumstances but most of all the stories that we heard of the flight of persecution. I have a story that's disheartening to share. So we had a mom who was fleeing out of, I believe it was Russia, into China. Mm-hmm. And she had a little infant that she had tied up on her body, tied it up with a scarf, but basically a baby that she was holding. And she was running away from guards that were chasing her. And she was running, came across the border, and then felt for her throughout her body, and her baby was gone. Mm. She lost her baby as she was fleeing for her life somewhere along the way. Mm. Can you imagine the devastation that she felt? Mm. That's the type of persecution that we fled. I've read stories of persecution in Russia where there's Lazar, I forget his last name, who took credit for killing 20 million Christians and Orthodox and God-fearing individuals. And, you know, when you hear stories like that, you wonder, how are we in America getting sort of to the same place where we have dictation slowly happening, we have mandates that are coming down, exemptions are being taken away, freedom is slowly but surely being taken away from us, and it just brought us to a place to feel like we need to get involved if we don't want to flee persecution again, because our ancestors have fled. And where are you going to go? Mm-hmm. You know, I think something that we've come to realize is this America and Oregon is our home. It's time for us to stop living as guests in this beautiful country and truly look at it as our home. And what do we need to do in our home? How can we stand up, defend our freedoms? It's not about going out there and rioting and fist fighting. Truly, it's just about defending our liberties.
The beautiful thing is you look at Oregon as a gift, and that for many years you were guest of Oregon. I think you're a gift to Oregon. Your community, your values, the honor system within your community, and I've been a learner of what your community stands for. We have lost that in Oregon, and you're a gift to show what life, what community looks like, and I applaud your efforts. And those of you that were bold and courageous within your community say, we've got to do something different, or we're going to lose the beautiful life that we have. And that's what I hear you saying. Is that pretty accurate?
It is. And thank you. But it's been a journey for us. Mm-hmm. And lots of people, it's a shift now for us to register people to vote. It's an educational process for us to live life a little bit differently. So mm-hmm. we're ingrained with stories from my parents and grandparents of persecution. But I myself was born right here in Oregon,
right
in Marion County, on a berry farm, picking mm-hmm. berries. I remember when strawberries came up to my chest, and strawberries are, you know, 2 feet off the ground.
One of my first adventures as a teen, because I was raised here in Marion County as well, is the strawberries. It was like your mm-hmm. first opportunity to get some work experience, and it's not easy work.
No.
What a great work ethic to start out with, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's continue the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We are encouraging you today, bringing hope and ways that you can connect so we don't feel helpless. We feel like we're part of the solution. Keep listening. We'll be back after this. Radio. Thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, for being a sponsor of the morning show. I encourage you to get a hold of Bill, 503-885-0789, for an evaluation of your insurance needs, maybe some financial advice. I think that would be great. He's a great guy and very personable and will give some great direction in your life. We are together today talking about our life as it is right now and ways that we can get involved to make some changes. And I'm so inspired by the story of Anna Kasachev, I'm going to get this right. And she is a woman of courage who has said, yes, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to run and I'm going to represent my community, our community here in Oregon, and make a difference in the state house. And in the studio along with me is David Medina. Is that correct? Did I say that right? Yes. And David is here. David is assisting Anna on her campaign. And David, you and I met on Saturday for the first time, and I'm curious, you know, young gentleman, again, I'm for our listeners, a great looking young man who has passion and drive and certainly lines up with the conservative message. And what would make someone like you say, I want to get involved and help in a campaign? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Right. Well, thank you, Stacy, for having us on. I really appreciate it, Stacy. I was approached with this opportunity to become Anna's campaign manager. There was other opportunities that came my way. And the reason why I chose Anna, there was several reasons why I chose Anna. First of all, thank you for having us on.
You bet.
What really drew me to Anna was just there's just this genuine spirit about her.
Mm-hmm.
There's that you just don't find in politics, right?
Right.
I've met a lot of politicians. I went to CPAC back in February. I got to meet a lot of, and there's just something about Anna, something about just the aura that she gives off is just so genuine and kind. Just kind of how you mentioned earlier. So that's one of the things that drew me to Anna and piqued my interest in working for her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great, actually. So far, it's been she's lived up to everything I thought she would live up to. As someone who is from the district, my first apartment, 10 years ago, was in North Salem. I worked in Woodburn for several retail stores. Mm-hmm. Kind of going through. So I've worked in Woodburn. I've worked in North Salem, and I just can't think of anybody better to represent that district than Anna. I think that she's not your average candidate, right? She's unique. She's special.
Mm-hmm.
This particular district hasn't been held by, anybody other than a Democrat since 2002.
Okay.
So it's been about 18 years
since
it's been held.
Time for some change.
Yeah. And so Anna is really someone that's going to represent the people. And I know that's a cliche thing to say, but it's really true. She's from the community. She's a regular mom who's just, she's just fed up. She said, one of the things when I interviewed for this position, one of the things I asked Anna was, why are you running? Why are you, what makes you want to get involved? And she just goes, you know what? I'm just fed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a regular mom who's fed up. I'm fed up with how government is working against us. They're not working for us. So those are kind of the things that really drew me to her, and she's exactly what this district needs.
Mm-hmm.
She will represent the people. She won't be a pawn of Salem. She will look out for the best interests of her people, and that's those things put together are what really drew me to this job, to work for her. I mean, I didn't take this job because I needed it. I took it because I wanted to work for Anna.
And that's exactly what's happening in this campaign that I see here in Oregon. When I told friends where I was living in Arkansas, and even some of my South Dakota friends, that I was moving back to Oregon where I went to school, some of them didn't realize that. They always thought I was from South Dakota, but no, Oregon, they're like, why in the world would you want to go back to a blue state? I said, I feel called, for one, and two, there's hope. I know there's hope and there's help. And here's what I see. I see people who are getting involved in the process for the very first time, that have never gotten involved, have never been political. They don't even know, what the boundaries are, what the expectations are, or the protocol or whatever. And that's exactly, if that's where you are, listener, today, you're like, I'm fed up. I just can't continue watching my great organ that I love continue down this path. I need to do something. Well, I want to encourage you to get involved, get engaged in the campaign. How do people get involved in the campaign, David? What can they do?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. So we're actively looking for volunteers. We're looking for both Spanish and English-speaking volunteers. Mm-hmm. You can go online to www.annakasichev.com. You can fill out a volunteer form there. You can show up to one of our events, follow her on Facebook, Instagram now. She now has an Instagram.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, she joined the Instagram crowd. So she can, you can go on there. You can message us. We have yard signs. We have all kinds of things, all kinds of ways to get involved, you know, to like you said, Stacey, mm-hmm. create that change. Because it's going to take people to really make a change. It's mm-hmm. going to take volunteers. It's going to take people going above and beyond what they usually do in their lives to get involved. And there's just not a better opportunity than Anna's campaign to get involved right now.
One of the things I keep saying is if you want more of the same or worse, do nothing.
Right.
If you want to see some change, do something and do something now. And you can get involved. Again, what's the website?
So it's annakasichev.com. So it's just spelled out A-N-N-A. KASACHEV.
Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, is it her name on Instagram?
Yeah, Anna for Oregon on Instagram, and then just Anna Kasichev on Facebook. So, Okay. Yeah, go follow her, support her. We need her in Salem. I mean, when I say we need her in Salem. I know the constituents of that. Of this district, and they need Anna.
And my understanding is, before we go into this next break, my understanding is the demographics of the Woodburn, Jervis, North Salem, all of that, there's a large Hispanic base as well. I know here in Salem we have 30%, I believe, is the demographics of Hispanic, and I think it's important that and I thank you, Anna, for doing what you're doing in your campaign to connect with people, all people. It's very, very important. And so thank you, David, for your efforts. As we go into this break, do you have anything else, one last minute thing that you want to share?
No, Stacey, I just want to thank you for having us. You were very kind to us on Saturday, and I just appreciate the opportunity for us to come on and kind of share Anna's story. And keep doing what you do. We love this radio station.
We're looking forward to announcing here after this break something fun for the whole family. Are you looking for some fun outdoors this weekend? Don't have any plans? Well, we have something for you and an opportunity too to meet Anna. We'll tell you a little more about it when we get back from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this beautiful day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. I sure hope you're having a fantastic day so far, a few hours into it, right? Ha! All of it is perspective. Let's keep our eyes focused on all the good, right? And try to encourage one another. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this day and every day. Really here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower all of us to get through this time together. I saw something really, really pretty powerful the other day on Facebook. And I believe it was the Kaiser Chamber Post, and I keep going back to that, Danielle Bethel, she's the director there, and she said, together we're stronger than COVID. Ooh, I like that. I love that because it's true. You and I together in community is so very important. I think that's what riles me up the most about all these mandates is just trying to disperse everybody and isolate everybody, and even the masks. You know, you don't see the smiles. You can't really do a good gauge and check in with people. Where are they at? How are they? And that stirs me up in a way that's like, you know what? Where are the bold and courageous people in our community to stand strong in an honorable way to say, you know, no, we've had enough. We're going to do some things different. And by you listening to this radio station and you getting the information, you're being bold and courageous because that's not what everybody's doing, right? Those of us that are choosing to be conservative, choosing to walk by faith right now, are not the normal, you know, it's kind of like swimming upstream a little bit. And those of us certainly that are deciding to throw our hat in the ring and run from office in a time that's really, it feels like you're a fish swimming upstream. I just have so much admiration. And we have Anna in the studio with us, and she's running in District 22. Is that correct, Anna? Is that the right state house, District 22?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
And so she's wanting to be in Salem at the Capitol representing her district. And I believe she's going to do it. And she has a powerful, compelling story, personal story. Talk to us a little bit about your personal story. And you made a mention that, you know, you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth and a lot of privilege. And that's been thrown around a lot lately, right? Oh, privilege, you know. Yeah, everything you have, you've worked hard for. And you've had to defend for, and you had to survive. You're a survivor, aren't you? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Hi. So, yes, I was born and raised here in Oregon. My parents immigrated here to the United States as refugees. My husband and I didn't know one another, but I was married off when I was 13 years old. My husband was 17. We were both forced to get married. This is not a common occurrence in our community. Just my situation was a unique one. My father was very abusive to my mom and left her with five children on her hands, lots of debt. And it was difficult for my mom to make ends meet. And so when the opportunity came to have a child married off, she took the opportunity not knowing what my life would turn out like. So no blame on my mom at all. She did the best that she could in the circumstances that she had. But I married into a family of violence, and my father-in-law was extremely abusive to his children and to his wife. And sadly, my father-in-law began to teach my husband how to be abusive to me. I remember he used to bring all the boys into a room, sit them down, and would start talking to them about how not to let the woman control them. And interestingly, and really sadly, the way that domestic violence cycle works is, I spoke to my son recently, and I talked to him about how my father-in-law used to teach my husband how to be an abuser, and he sort of laughed and said, "Yeah, Mom, Dad actually said that to us."
Mm.
And so it was really sad that, you know, I've forgiven my husband. I want the public to know he was the love of my life.
Mm.
But he was also a victim of child abuse, and he was controlled by his father through his adult years. And so it's really a sad story. My husband's passed away, so I'm a widow now for 10 years. But what I do want to say is, took me 8 years to completely break down, and then I've pieced myself back together again. And now, as a survivor, because I've been a victim for so many years, there is nothing stronger than a victim who became a survivor. Mm. And I want to give power to people out there, whether you're suffering from child abuse, domestic violence, incest, rape, and every other abuse that's out there, there is power in survivorship. You become a different person, you speak differently, and you can empower people around you. So there's, you know, I won't say that it was a good thing. My experience wasn't. I was born into poverty. My parents came here as refugees, as I mentioned earlier. We used to live multi-families, so there was about 20-plus people living in a small three-bedroom home when my parents came to the United States. There was a table, one chair that had only three legs, and the rest of us kids had to eat on the floor. The adults got to eat at the table. My grandparents, we always give respect to the elders in our community. And slowly our families rose up. They worked really hard in berry fields and hops and farms. So the land that we stand on, we nurtured this land. We cultivated it. We worked side by side with the American community, with the Hispanic community, the African American community, everybody who lives in Woodburn, Oregon, Marion County, and Jervis and Brooks. We were right here with you. We went to school together. So, community is real important to us. Mm-hmm. And what I want to say is, as I watch where Oregon is going right now, Governor Kate Brown isn't putting our communities first. She's really putting them last. She's treating us as helpless children. She's dictating what we need to do instead of bringing us into the room and asking us, you know, what do we do? How can we solve the problem? You'll hear me say this often, is we really need to bring in the right people in the room to do the job.
Mm.
And if you don't invite the right people in the room to do the job, you're going to miss a lot of valuable points. And I think that that's important. And right now in legislation, I can't say that we have the right people in the room to do the job. And so that definitely needs to change. And part of the reason that I've decided to run and throw my hat in is I've just watched what's gone on. I've watched poverty. I worked for DHS, for the Department of Human Services Self-Sufficiency, where I determined eligibility for food stamps, medical, cash assistance, domestic violence. I used to volunteer for the Mid-Valley Women's Crisis Center, is what it used to be called, for about a year on their hotline. I went through the advocacy program. So when I say that I rose up, I truly went out there, and I don't take things lightly. If I see that there's an issue, I'll do everything I can to research about the issue, find out what I can, and then see where I can improve. I reflect upon myself, but I don't just take things lightly, nor do I am I led by people. I listen to everyone's stories, and then I really go through and evaluate the situation to see, you know, what's the best way that I can approach it. So I share my story because I really want you to know that I wasn't born with a gold spoon. I was born into poverty, and my life was not easy, and I can relate to you who struggle out there, especially if you're feeling hopeless. I know what hopelessness feels like. I met a gentleman at the rally that I spoke on Saturday, and he said, you know, I just don't know how to get involved. This is my first time that I came here, and I feel helpless. And when he said that he felt helpless, that absolutely broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
How are we, and how did we get to a place in America where we feel helpless against our government and hopeless? How did we get here? And so I ask that question continuously. And, you know, as people come up and as they ask, what made you throw in your hat? Well, that's what made me throw in my hat, is because I watched communities be ignored. I watched government work against families instead of for them. I watched government put up roadblocks so that families can't get ahead. We have an economy that's been completely shut down. And now I think that you've mentioned earlier, you know, yesterday's release with Governor Kate Brown, where she said, 5-year-old children and up have to wear masks.
Mm.
How horrifying. Because children, first of all, they may not understand why they need to wear the mask. Is it going to traumatize them? People at the gym, I don't know about you, but I can barely breathe if I'm on a treadmill. So I don't know how I'm going to do with the mask.
Right.
And it just, it's hard for me to watch this dictatorship, this heavy-handed government that's handing out mandates and dictation and forcing people to do things that, and people's choices are being taken away, and they're feeling helpless. I think that's the biggest piece for me, is we've got to unite.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up at a rally, you may feel you're not doing anything, but bodies make a difference. The other thing I want to share is I was scrolling on Facebook yesterday, and I was horrified to see the rioting that Governor Kate Brown calls peaceful protesting. There's graffiti that says "Moms for Dead Cops."
Mm.
I was stunned. I was speechless. Or "Kill All Pigs" is the other graffiti that I found. This is right here in our neighborhood of Portland, Oregon. And how is this? How do we condone this? How is this okay? How did we get to a place where we're threatening police officers? These are our brothers and sisters who are our U.S. citizens. They're
yes.
being threatened, and there is nothing that's being done. And our governor is saying, no, no, it's okay. Go ahead and continue to peacefully protest, yet there's writing on the wall that's threatening their lives. I don't know about you, but something about that feels a little bit backwards for me. So I do want to share an event the Russian Old Believer community is putting on. It's called Heroes in Blue, We Thank You. It is this Saturday. We have some speakers lined up. We invited local police officers to come out. All we want to do is say thank you. We want you to know that we are in your corner. We support you. We need you to do the work that you're doing, and we hope that you don't step down. I've met a person out of Gresham who was running for a House seat, and he stepped down and decided to run for the mayor because he said the city chief resigned. There's police officers that are resigning, and I just couldn't watch this happen in my city. I become speechless again, and I just want to get out there and defend our freedoms, because what are we doing in our state where we're allowing our freedoms to be taken away? People who protect us are now being targeted. So
what a great opportunity to come out and support our heroes. I love that. We're going to give that information again when we get back from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm encouraged. How about you? We can make a difference. Hold on. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Don't forget, maybe you've already done so, and thank you if you have, pick up The Best of the Willamette Valley, your guide to all the businesses. There are about 329 businesses voted of the best by you right here in the Willamette Valley. And if you haven't picked up this copy yet, oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. Colored little magazine. It would be great to tuck in your car, and you're like, I don't know where we want to go. If you're a mom and you're like, kids, where do you want to go out to eat tonight? And you're like, I don't know. Well, let's pick up this book and look for the best of in whatever category, pizza or whatever. I encourage you to get this. If you don't have one, go to their website, bestofthewillamettevalley.com. Find out where you can grab your copy. We have some left. In fact, I'm in box two. Everywhere we go, we've been handing these out when we do remotes and live interactions with you, our listeners. We've been giving them out. And so if you need one, you can stop by the studio too during business hours. We'd love to get you a copy. We're continuing the conversation with Anna. She's running for House District 22 here in the state of Oregon. And we are making changes. We have an opportunity to be empowered and make a change, and we can get involved. And Anna, we were talking about this wonderful, supportive event taking place, and I'm going to pull it up here on the website because I think it's a really good opportunity for people to get involved. It's Heroes in Blue, and you can find it right at the Russian Old Believers website. It's robc.us, and then the event's there, Heroes in Blue, We Thank You. And it's talking about fun for the whole family. We'll have a dunk tank, bouncing houses, water slides. There's going to be food. And you talked to me a little bit about putting care packages together too, right, for our heroes. Is that what's going on as well?
It is. And so we're putting care packages, healthy care packages, mm-hmm. of nuts and things that they can just take along on their ride. And also we have some giveaways, some raffles. But to officers, if you're a member of law enforcement, we actually have members of our community, companies who've sponsored mm-hmm. hundreds of families. And so if you're a law enforcement officer, simply come to the market. Let us know that you're a law enforcement officer and you get a meal for free for yourself and your entire family.
Oh, how incredible is that? And something else that really grabbed me, and I don't know how we're going to do this yet. Anna, maybe you and I could put our thinking caps on and we could come up with something. And David, you could assist us in this. But I love that at the bottom of this page, it says, nominate an officer that goes above and beyond the line of duty and deserves recognition for their work. Do you have a positive story of an interaction with an officer? Was your life saved by an officer? We'd love to hear and share your story. And I think we can do something even greater. Maybe here on the morning show, we could do something where we honor an officer a week or something like that. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be.
Yes. And so you have the sheriff, you've talked to Marion County Sheriff, right? And some of the officers in Silverton. And so you're inviting anybody who can hear this that serves on the front lines to come and attend. It's not just in Silverton, right?
Yeah. So we reached out to Marion County, Mount Angel, Malala, Silverton, just
Yay.
Local officers. Mm-hmm. So if you're an officer and you hear this, whether you received an invitation or not from us, please come on down. We just want to say thank you and honor you for the work that you do. And I do want to share share my my story. So with police officers, mm-hmm. there was defund police officers, and I've watched quite a bit of this. And so I went out on a ride-along with the sheriff's office, and I want to share my experience on my ride-along. And the deepest thing that I learned was the work that they do. So, you know, I asked lots of questions, and the deputy said, you know, a lot of my work is working with people who are mentally ill and mentally challenged. He said, I can arrest them, but that's just a Band-Aid. It doesn't do anything for them. They end up with an arrest or a felony. It's going to hurt them to get a job in the future. And so I really think about walking that fine line and how can I impact this person's life positively instead mm-hmm. of negatively. He said, you know, one time I sat down in a ditch and just sat there and listened to a woman for 45 minutes. Is this who we want to defund? Mm. A caring individual who sat in a ditch for 45 minutes. He said, other times I have mentally ill people who call. I have them on my speakerphone as I'm driving, and they just talk. They have nobody to talk to, so I listen. Mm. And as I listen to his stories about the work that he does day in and day out, this is one officer that I spoke to. I'll bet you there's at least hundreds of other officers throughout Oregon who perform the same duties to help our mentally ill. We have a homeless population, and I want to share that I read an article from 2017 where Minnesota compares officers to Oregon. Oregon at that time ranked the third in the nation to have the best officers in play.
Wow.
Or the best law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was due to Senate Bill 111 that passed in 2007, where they've made lots of reforms and changes. And so for us to talk about defunding the police when we're third in the nation as being some of the best officers, that just doesn't make any sense to me. To blanket cover a situation that happened out in another state, we're not that state. We're not New York. We're not Minnesota. We're Oregon. And although Portland has some rioting going on right now, that's not to say all officers are bad. I mean, if you have one doctor that does malpractice, does that mean all doctors are bad? No. We're human. Let's allow some human grace for humans to make mistakes. But that doesn't mean that we condemn the entire work of police force, because what I saw is nowhere near what happened to George Floyd. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to come out and publicly say that I am in support of police officers. I think it's important that we keep them around. We're doing the right thing here in Oregon. In fact, I've learned that Marin County Sheriff's Office hired four mental health specialists who ride along with the officers, and they're dressed in plain clothes so that if somebody's struggling, they can actually talk to them. The police officers aren't trained in psychology. They don't have the specialized training that some of the mentally ill folks need. And so is it fair of us to demand that they perform a job that they don't have training for?
That's a great point. I really think getting alongside, knowing who's representing us on the front line, supporting them, is exactly what we need to do. I know where I came from in South Dakota, I went to a Citizens Police Academy, did a ride along, those kinds of things. I think there are things like that in Marion County, as well as here at the city of Salem with the police department. Anna, what you're saying is exactly what we need to hear. Thank you for standing behind, in a sense, the badge and our heroes, those on the front lines that are making a difference. How do people get a hold of you again? Will you tell us how they, and for my friend Bob, the other day, he said, also give phone number, because some of us don't have a website or don't do smartphones. So if there's a way, maybe David, if there's a phone number to the campaign, what's your website again, Anna?
So my website is www.annakasichev.com. My Facebook page is Friends of Anna Kasichev.
And then your Instagram as well is your name, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with my phone number, I'm trying to find my phone number here real quick.
I was really impressed with him saying, you know, remind us that by phone numbers, and what you could do too is you could call us here at the studio and certainly be in touch that way as well. You got the number, David?
Yeah, so... if you guys want to reach us, it's 503-983-7815. That's a direct line that comes to me. I help with all her communication goes through me. And then, you know, Anna has a lot of busy stuff to do, so we, you know, I try to take a lot of
that,
her plate.
That
so,
helps. You yeah. are an asset to the team. Thank you so much, David, for that. And we will be putting all this information up on our website and the podcast. Anna, thank you. Will you come back maybe when we get a little closer to the campaign and give us an update on how you're doing?
I would love to. Thank you.
You have a blessed day, Anna.
You
David,
too.
You too. Thank you for
thank
joining
you
us. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this wonderful day. And remember, no matter what you're facing today, over, under, around, or through, you and I together, we're overcomers. Be blessed.